First canto. Chapter 8. Prayers by Queen Kunti. Text 41. Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshu Me Sneha Pasham Imam Chinti Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu. O Lord of the Universe, Soul of the Universe, O Personality of the Form of the Universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. The Pandavas are her own sons, and the Vrishnis are the members of her paternal family. Krishna was equally related to both the families. Both the families required the Lord's help because both were dependent devotees of the Lord. Srimati Kunti Devi wished Sri Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas, but by his doing so, her paternal house would be bereft of the benefit. All these partialities troubled the mind of Kunti, and therefore she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. A pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. The typical example is the band of six Goswamis who followed the path of Lord Chaitanya. All of them belong to the most enlightened and cultured rich families of the higher castes. But for the benefit of the mass of population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. To cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a Brahmin, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. The personality of Godhead as an ideal king showed this by example. Sri Ramachandra cut off the tie of affection for his beloved wife to manifest the qualities of an ideal king. Such personalities as a Brahmin, a devotee, a king or a public leader must be very broad-minded in discharging their respective duties. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and being weak, she prayed to be free from such bondage of family affection. The Lord is addressed as the Lord of the Universe, or the Lord of the Universal Mind, indicating his all-powerful ability to cut the hard knot of family affection. Therefore, it's sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of a special affinity towards a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstances arranged by his all-powerful energy. By doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him, and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. Atavish Vesha Vishvatman Vishva Morate Sukeshume Sneha Pashami Mam Chindhi Dridam Pandashu Vrishnishu. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shinadi Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastichyade Shadharani Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Vadidhanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So in every lifetime, we have a different family. Every lifetime. Now, of course, we have our current families. We know them very well. But in our previous lifetime, before this one, we had a completely different family. Totally different. And we were totally different. Perhaps we were the ladies, perhaps were in male bodies. Perhaps the men or some of them were in female bodies. And maybe some of us were in demigod bodies. Maybe some of us were in much lower bodies. Of course, this we don't know. But the basic point is that our situations then were very different from what they are now. And then there was a lifetime before that, and another one before that, and so many. And at least in this regard, in each lifetime, we had a different family, different parents, different children, different husband, wife, and so on and so forth. And in those lifetimes, even if we just consider the immediate past lifetime, in that lifetime, we were very attached to the family we had then. It is not just that in this lifetime that we feel, oh, my parents, oh, my husband, oh, my wife, oh, my children. It's not just in this lifetime, but in the previous lifetime also. But we had completely different parents, husband or wife, children, and so on, completely different in the previous lifetime. So, if someone, well now, like now, if someone were able to show us some pictures of our family members from just our immediate previous lifetime, and if they were to tell us, this is your mother, this is your father, and so on like that, it would mean nothing to us. It would mean nothing. We would not remember, oh, this was my mother. Oh. We wouldn't remember. These people, if we saw pictures of them, they would just be more faceless faces. meaningless faces, just more nobodies. And of course now we're generally devotees and our parents maybe too, and so you know, we feel for them in a special way, but the likelihood is if we take birth again and Hare Krishna, we really hope we don't. But if we did, then our family members from this lifetime, same thing, if we saw photos of these ones from this lifetime, next life, then it would just be, who's this? Never saw him before. Don't know them. Our dear little son, Gauranga. Gauranga! Gauranga! Yes. Even his mother, who is naturally very concerned about him and affectionate and so on, that's fine. But if there was another lifetime and she was to see the photo of Gauranga, it would be just, never saw him before. What a trick of Maya. What an amazing trick of Maya. That it's like that. But in each lifetime, oh, we're so moved by these relationships. So moved. This is the trick of Maya. Maya is not to be underestimated. Her power, we should not think she doesn't have so much power. She has amazing power. Even we see when Lord Krishna was in the middle of the pastime of, it ended killing Agasura. Agasura, big demon, snake demon. So, in the process of that whole pastime, then Agasura was lying on the ground with his mouth open. The cowherd boys went into the mouth and right down the throat of Agasura. And there's a nice painting in the 10th canto, in that part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a nice painting of the scene. There's the cowherd boys going into the mouth of Agasura. And in the front, in the foreground, there is Krishna looking at Agasura. And Krishna's looking like this. Like he's thinking. This is sort of characteristic pose for someone who's thinking. And Krishna's thinking, look at this Agasura. He's a product of my material energy. It's amazing. Look at him. I never saw something like him before. Even Krishna's feeling amazed by this creation of his material energy. So if even Krishna sometimes becomes so impressed, Hare Krishna, merci beaucoup, bon dhanyavad, vous êtes très gentil. So, if Krishna himself sometimes sees some scenes in the material world, and if even Krishna says, oh, what is this? Then just for us, with our small brains, how can we understand, how can we appreciate the extent, the power of the material creation? Yes. So, this here we have Queen Kunti. And she is praying to Krishna that, please, well, in the next verse we'll read, I suppose, tomorrow, she says, I want to focus my attention on you very strongly, just like the Ganges flows very strongly to the sea and you cannot stop it. So I want my mind to flow to you without any obstruction, without any impediment. So, in that mood, we'll read about that tomorrow, but in that mood she's speaking this verse, that, my dear Lord, please cut these knots of affection I have to my family members, because they're getting in the way of my giving my attention to you. I try to give my attention to you, and then suddenly I have to go and do something for a family member, and I have to give my attention to that, and then I forget you. This is what Queen Kunti said. So of course, it is one thing if your family members are nonsense, or even super nonsense, like real demons. You know, you became a Hare Krishna devotee, they kicked you out. It happens, even amongst the Hindu society, and what to speak of other societies. What to speak of a Muslim society, anyway. But it happens. Someone becomes a Hare Krishna devotee, kicked out. Or even someone just marries the wrong girl, according to the idea of the parents. And then, goodbye. Au revoir. Don't come back unless you're divorced. But these things happen. And if your relatives are sort of useless people, if they are, then to have an attitude like Queen Kunti here, we can see it wouldn't be so difficult if they're horrible people, then they don't support you, they're not kind to you, but rather if they're abusive towards you, then you can understand. With parents like that, you know, why should we bother with them? But now, here, Kunti is talking about her sons, and they're very nice. They're extremely nice. They are just the most wonderful, dedicated sons in the world. And then other family members, many of them are pure devotees. Pure devotees, and they love her. She has very deep relations. But still, to set an example, she's saying this really for our advantage, to help us. That even your family of devotees, you shouldn't become just overwhelmed with attachment for them. You know, you should see your children. Whose children are they, Gauranga? Whose child are you? You know whose child you really are. Krishna's. And you're just on loan for a little while. And then you'll be gone. I mean, the relationship will be gone. And then if there's, you know, another birth, there'll be another Gauranga. Totally different. And this one, like he never existed. Like he never existed. So she's not advocating. She's not saying that we should be callous, nasty ourselves and just reject people. But we should be careful that we do not become so absorbed in material relations that we forget Krishna, and those family relations become the main things in our lives. And Krishna is just, you know, he's there somewhere in some sort of abstract way. We should try to keep Krishna in the front of our lives. And just like the gopis, Krishna played the flute. The gopis ran. In some cases, their parents tried to stop them. Who were those parents? They're the most exalted pure devotees who exist. They're just amazing. But still the gopis left for Krishna. So none of us here today, with great respect, none of us are on the level of the gopis. And we shouldn't think we are. I don't think we think we are. I certainly hope we think we don't think we are. But they were so attached to Krishna that they even were willing to give up these most, most wonderful parents, pure devotee, eternal associate of the Lord parents. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. Not like some of us, and I can certainly speak for myself. You have these useless family members, and they're mainly a pain in the neck, but somehow you've got to sort of, you know, do something with them. But they're practically hopeless. So yes, Kunti's example is there. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Ram. He even rejected Mother Sita. Of course, that's all just pastime, and we shouldn't mistake it for anything else. But still, it sets an example for us. Important example. Now, we are not suggesting that some of you now tell your husband, "You're not my husband. Who needs you? Go away." We're not suggesting that. But we are suggesting, Queen Kunti is suggesting a somewhat of a change of perspective. So, otherwise, who knows? Maharaj Bharat became a deer. He became too attached. King Paranjan, in the fourth canto, he was attached to his wife, the queen, In his next life, he became Puranjani. Just see? Yes. So, we should be careful. You know, in previous bygone ages, the ladies, when their husband, if their husband would die before them, because in many cases women live longer than men, actually. Yeah. So, but in Vedic times, when this would happen, you know what the ladies would do? You know, the husband is being cremated. They would walk into the fire. Just voluntarily walk into the fire, sit down by the burning body of the husband and just, are you ready, ladies? Tagya, is that the right word? Tagya?
Yeah.
Tagya or tagya?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiyar.
Ready. Already is tayar. Tagya means tired. Ready is tayar. Right? Are you ready? Okay, don't answer that question. It's all right. So, like we said, not that we should take the relationships that Krishna has put us into cheaply. But on the other end of the scale, we should not become overwhelmed by them. And in this way, if we become attached to Krishna, and if Krishna becomes the main person in our life, then we develop a deeper sense of affection for all living entities, including our family members. We actually develop a deeper and more meaningful affection for our family members. It is described that Mother Yashoda, when Krishna goes out to herd the cows, Mother Yashoda stays at home and she does her household duties and she is missing Krishna very much. Krishna has gone out. I will not see him till the evening. She is missing Krishna. So, then as she cleans around, she's cleaning, she sees a pair of Krishna's little shoes. So she's cleaning, and then, oh, Krishna's shoes. And when she sees those shoes of Krishna, they remind her. She's already thinking of Krishna. Not that she's forgotten. She's already thinking of Krishna. But when she sees the shoes, they remind her even more. Oh, Krishna. Deepens her remembrance. So she picks up the shoes, holds them to her heart. Tears of love come from her eyes because they're Krishna's shoes. They remind her of Krishna. In other words, in one sense, she sees the shoes. In one sense, she sees Krishna. In one sense, she sees Krishna. It is not that Mother Yashoda is just very fond of shoes. Whenever she sees shoes, any shoes, it's just, oh, shoes. If she walks past the shoe shop, she becomes overwhelmed. It is not that. These are Krishna's shoes. So if we develop love for Krishna, then, because everything belongs to Krishna, Krishna's house, Krishna's devotees, my brothers and sisters, and Krishna's motor car, and Krishna's tree, and even Krishna's dogs. So, because one loves Krishna, one naturally feels affection for all those other things. Oh, Krishna's car! We must look after it because it's Krishna's car. Because there's love for Krishna. So similarly, our children, our relatives and others, people we are close to, if we see them as being Krishna, we will feel more affection for them, and we will feel a more real affection for them than just if we see them just as my husband, my wife, my parents, my children, and relatives like that. Yeah? This is very wonderful, actually, that by detaching yourself, at least to some degree, from your material relationships, the same relationships become much deeper and more satisfying and more loving through developing Krishna consciousness. Yes. So let us try and do like that. This is what Queen Kunti is saying. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.